the circumstances, she treated him accordingly. If any wife wants to be happy with her husband, she must try to understand her husband's temperament and please him. This is victory for a woman. Even the dealings of Lord Krishna with his different queens, it has been seen that all of the queens were the daughters of great kings. They placed themselves before Lord Krishna as his maidservants. However great a woman may be, she must place herself before her husband in this way. That is to say, she must be ready to carry out her husband's orders and please him in all circumstances. Then her life will be successful. When the wife becomes as irritable as the husband, their life at home is sure to be disturbed or ultimately completely broken. In the modern day, the wife is never submissive. Therefore, home life is broken even by slight incidents. Either the wife or the husband may take advantage of the divorce laws. According to the Vedic law, however, there is no such thing as divorce laws, and a woman must be trained to be submissive to the will of her husband. Westerners contend that this is a slave mentality for the wife, but factually it is not. It is the tactic by which a woman can conquer the heart of her husband, however irritable or cruel he may be. In this case, we clearly see that Older Chaivanya Muni was not young, but indeed old enough to be Sakanya's grandfather, and was also very irritable. Sakanya, the beautiful young daughter of a king, submitted herself to her old husband and tried to please him in all respects. Thus, she was a faithful and chaste wife. Om Gyan Chaman Sagan and Jana Shalaka Satam Tamina Tasma Shivan. Now I won't fish in Paraya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutli. Sri Mati Bhakti Vyanta Swami Nami Namasasa Swati Devi Gauravani Pachani. Nirvishesha Shunivadi Prashtadi Shitani. Yashi Krishna Shaitani. Prabhu Nityananda Shire Takarada Shivasidi Gaurabhakti. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. When I first read this story with Chaivanya Muni and Sakanya, I was dumbfounded. But then later on when I read on, I got some more insight into the whole story. So we have two parts here. We have the chapter summary, and then the text 10. So I'll discuss briefly the chapter summary so we get an insight into the text. And then I'll do text 10. Chaivanya Muni was the son of Bhrigu. And Bhrigu was, he was the mind-born son of Brahma. This seems to be in the age of Satyuga. Sharyati was the son of Manu, and he and his daughter and entourage, they decided to take a visit to the ashram of Chaivanya Muni. Whilst they were there, they were looking around visiting, and his daughter Sukanya, she had to be very young, she couldn't be more than 12 years, probably, see? And she and her friends were collecting fruits and so, and then eventually she saw this, there's a little catch here, really, because it says, the whole of an earthworm. But I know in the Ramayana, Valmiki, when he was meditating, he was covered by an anthill. And then he was called Valmiki because of that. And I don't know for what reason, if there's any Sanskrit scholar here, he may be able to research this. But it seems more appropriately, it would have been an anthill. And then maybe he was meditating and he got covered over. But in his eyes, he could, you know, through the anthill. So Sukanya, she was curious. She was walking around collecting fruits and so, and then she saw this. Because if he was in the earth, I mean an earthworm hole would be very small, very, very small. You know an earthworm. For him to be inside the earthworm, it seems highly impossible. But anyhow, we'd accept that he was in something. And he was meditating there and then covered, and his eyes were glowing. So Sukanya, out of curiosity, saw this to glowing substance. And she took a thorn, just little girl, she think. She pierced it. And then blood was oozing out of the two holes. But maybe at that point she didn't say anything. And suddenly the soldiers of charity stopped passing stool and urine. And that was disturbing to the king, because somehow it got to the king, and he wanted to know, well, what's going on, so he immediately asked. And this is to show how Sukanya was a very qualified girl, very honest, Some people might have denied, mightn't say anything. But she immediately said, I did it, Father. She said, I did it. And so the king tried to appease the sage immediately. So he, actually in another story within the Mahabharata, it stated that Chaivanya Muni says, the only way to settle this issue is for you to marry her to me. See? But within the Bhagavatam, it stated that that he inquired if the girl was married, and the king took that as a hint, and so he decided to give his daughter to Chaivanya Muni. And that could have been very disappointing, because he didn't have any intention of going to the ashram to leave his daughter with this old person. Chaivanya Muni was very, very old, see, like her grandfather. And and so he did that, and he immediately left, because he could have been coerced. I mean, those sages are so powerful, they coerce you in an instant. So he left, and his daughter stayed with Chaivanya Muni. And she'd serve him, as we'll read that. I'll discuss text later on. So this was a very, very unusual marriage. So let me ask somebody here, if you were in that position, would you marry your young daughter to Chaivanya Muni? Mataji? When I read that story first, I was dumbfounded. But you would not, right? What about you, Keshava? I know you don't have a daughter, but if you had one, your only daughter, and this is the only daughter of Charity, would you do that? How about Jaikirtan? Would you do that? No. Good. Okay. So that's one. So then the other marriage, so this is the unusual marriage. We'll discuss it a little bit. And then the other marriage was with Revati and Balaram. King Kakudmi took his daughter all the way to Brahmaloka. Imagine that. This seems to be Satyag again. And those living entities had the power to fly at will. See, in Satyag, you could fly at will, do so many different things. So they might just search the Brahmalok there. And then they were, Lord Brahma was looking at a consort in Brahmalok. And so what happened, he told Kakudmi to wait a little bit. And the consort must have taken about an hour or so. And then after the consort, in Sariputta's book, he said about 2 hours. I don't know how we got that, really. I couldn't find a clue to that. But he said roughly about 2 hours, Lord Brahma was looking at his consort. And then he decided to speak to Kakudmi. And so Kakudmi says, well, who do you think on earth is good for my daughter Revati? And Lord Brahma started to laugh very loudly. So loudly that Kakudmi was astonished. He was astounded. How is it? Why are you laughing? I mean, I came all this way to find a nice suitor. He said, all you've known and all you would have known and whatever, they're all died and gone. 27 Mahayugas have passed. So within 2 hours in Brahmalok, 27, I was trying to calculate last night. It might even be more than 27. So the thing with the calculation with 2 hours might be a little over that. But Lord Brahma told him 27 Mahayugas have passed. And that is equal to about 116 million years. That's a very long time, very, very long time. So anyhow, he told him that Lord Balaram would be on earth and go back there and you can marry your daughter to him. So he went there and then he proposed to Lord Balaram and Lord Balaram accepted. She was very tall because in Satyag, the beings there were 22 cubits. 22 cubits is what, like 30, maybe about 30 to 40 feet. You know, I mean, that, but I don't know if exactly it was that tall, but she was pretty tall. And he took his plow and hook her head and pull her down to his size. And then he married her. So these are the two very, very unusual story. But I'll go back to the first story, story one, with Chaivana Muni. So I've asked a few of you, and every one of you refused to marry your daughter to Chaivana Muni. If I was asked, I'd say yes, I'll marry my daughter to Chaivana Muni. And I tell you the reason why. Chaivana Muni was a supremely powerful sage. Very, 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 very powerful. See? He had so much mystic power, he could appear and disappear. He could walk on water, he could sleep on water, he could dive in the water. He could do so many things. And besides that, he could make himself as handsome more than any handsome being and younger than any younger being. He had all that power to do. See? So it was only later on when I researched, then I realized this, and then I decided I wouldn't mind marrying my daughter to him too. See, but if so one thing he was doing, the Udvasa vow, and that was he was standing in the Ganges. He was standing in the Ganges and the confluence of the Ganges and the Jamuna. And he would lie in the water. He would meditate in the water. He would go down. He would float on the water. So many different things. It's stated that out of respect for Chaivana Muni, the Ganges and the Jamuna, cool their rage. They decided to, because at the confluence of a river, at that point the river is very raging, you know, very powerful, the force is powerful. But just out of respect for Chaivana Muni, the rivers calmed themselves down. And the whole place, the whole atmosphere was very calm. And then he was meditating there. It was a 12-year vow, so he meditated there for 12 years. But all the fish became very friendly with Chaivana Muni. All the fish and the aquatics there became very friendly because they realized that this is a very harmless person, you know, projected very good vibration. And so they became friends. Then one day some fishermen, he was probably under the water. But maybe before I go into that, I just like to say too that sometimes the Christians, they're very, very proud that Jesus had walked on water, you know. I mean, and they would say, have any guy that can do that? But you can remember the story of Chaivana Muni. Chaivana Muni would just lie on the water. He could walk on that water like nothing. He lived under the water or on top of the water and under water for 12 years. He was so powerful. So if you're preaching and you met some some Christian and they want to challenge you, you say, yeah, here we got Chaivana Muni. There was another sage called Saubhari Muni. He also did the same thing. He was meditating on the water. So this sage was very powerful. Of course, I don't want to diminish the prowess of Jesus, because he was very, very powerful also. So whilst Chaivana was under the water, some fishermen caught him in a net, along with many fishes. And so when they pulled out the fish, they saw the sage there, and they got afraid immediately. They said, what can we do for you, Holy One? And the sage said, well, what are you going to do with the fish? They said they were going to sell the fish. They say, Chaivana Muni said, well, you have to sell me too. You're going to sell me along with the fish. See? And so the fishermen got very scared. They went to the king. The king was Nahusha. And Nahusha immediately went to Chaivana Muni and said, what can I do for you, sage? He said, well, you have to do something. Pay for me to release these fish. He said, well, okay, I'll give you a thousand gold coins. Chaivana Muni said, no. 10,000, no. 100,000, no. Half my kingdom, no. Then one sage advised the king to give Chaivana Muni a cow. And when he did that, immediately Chaivana Muni agreed. He agreed not to take action on these fishermen or anything, because the king, Chaivana Muni, realized he was not worth more than a cow. See, that to show how powerful is the cow also, you know, worthy is the cow. So then Chaivana Muni blessed the king and the fishermen and everything, and he left. Then there was another instance where he heard that one king, the dynasty of Kushika would destroy the dynasty of Bhrigu. And Chaivana Muni was the son of Bhrigu. And when he heard that, really, he didn't like that. So he decided to go to Kushika's dynasty and destroy the king and his family. So when he went there, the king welcomed him and he says, well, I need a room to stay. The king gave him. And he stayed there. He said, well, the king and his queen realized that they have to render some service to Chaivana Muni. So they say, whatever you need. And he said, well, massage my body. Chaivana Muni slept for 21 days on one side, and they had to massage him. Then when he woke up, they gave him some food. He immediately burned up the food and the room and everything and left, disappeared. Then he reappeared later on. They gave him another room. He turned on the other side and they started to massage the other side of his body. So it stated for 50 days, the king and queen ate nothing. Then finally Chaivana Muni got pleased, and he blessed him. And he decided, well, he would not destroy them anymore. And then eventually the son of Kushika was Gadi. And Gadi's daughter married to Jamadagni, who was the mother of Parshuram. And we know Parshuram was a Brahmana, but he became a Kshatriya. And Gadi's son was Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra, he was a Kshatriya and became a Brahmana. So this was how the dynasty were winning. So we can see that Chaivana Muni was very, very powerful, very, very qualified. And even though that the king had married his daughter to him, he knew within his heart he could convert himself into a young man. But he gave the Ashwin Kumar the opportunity to do that. And they took him to a lake, and when they came out back, all of them became young. And then Chaivana Muni. Chaivana Muni became young, but Sukanya couldn't tell who was the husband. And it stated here she took shelter of the Kumaras and then was able to distinguish her husband. And for that reason, or at least that is one of the clues for Sukanya to be considered a very chaste woman. So now we're going to discuss text 10. And this is a very heavy text here. See? This is a very... Srila Prabhupada gave the clue. My last class, or either the previous class, I mentioned a lot about divorce there. And I showed a rate really. I said the divorce rate in India was 1% or less. In the Arabic world, it's about 5% or less. Buddhist world and so. But in the Western world, it is at least about 50% and more. Some countries 60%, some countries 75%. And so that's very puzzling. Why is this so? Why is it that the divorce rate is so high in the West? And then Srila Prabhupada, I don't know if it's a coincidence, but I don't believe that really. He gave some very good clues. See, and he says here that if a wife wants to be happy with her husband, she must try to understand her husband's temperament and please him. This is victory for the wife. And there's so many more he gave here. And then he says, in the Vedic society, there's nothing like divorce. So we in Krishna consciousness, we're also seeing an influx of divorce here. Actually our rate is probably higher than the national rate of this country. And that is astounding. Very, very amazing and very, very disturbing. And so Srila Prabhupada gave some clues here. He also gave some clues in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita. We have a little time, but this is an important subject, and we need to read it a little bit. Pravritim cha nivritam cha jnana vidur asura. Na saucham napi cha chacharo. Na satyam teshu vidyati. Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done, what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them. In every civilized human society, there is some set of scriptural rules and regulations which is followed from the beginning, especially among the Aryans, those who adopt the Vedic civilization and who are known as the most advanced civilized peoples. Those who do not follow the scriptural injunctions are supposed to be demons. Therefore, it is stated here that the demons do not know the scriptural rules, nor do they have any inclination to follow them. Most of them do not know them, and even if some of them know, they have not the tendency to follow them. They have no faith, nor are they willing to act in terms of the Vedic injunctions. The demons are not clean, either externally or internally. One should always be careful to keep his body clean by bathing, brushing his teeth, so forth. As for behavior, there are many rules and regulations guiding human behavior, such as the Manu Samhita, which is the law of the human race. Even up to today, those who are Hindu follow the Manu Samhita. And there's much more in here. When you get time, you read it. It's 16:7. But there it's stated also, within that purport it's stated, that a woman, when she's small, she's protected by her father. When she's married, she's protected by her husband. And when she's old, she's protected by her eldest son or her son. So... can anyone say why this is necessary? Maybe let me ask some of the guys first. Anybody can tell. She should be
social harmony.
Social harmony. What do you say, Keshava? So she needs protection. Okay, let the Mataji, let me hear someone of the Mataji. Madhavachira or this Mataji. Do you agree with that really? I mean, you know, this is okay. We have Mataji, but we don't have the mic, right? Okay, yes. She shouldn't get exploited. Very, very good. That's a very good answer. What about this Mataji? Do you agree with that? Do you agree with the law of Manu force of all? I mean, the thing is, we're here really, we can say, I don't agree or I agree. I mean, what is it? Do you think? Yeah. Yeah, the reason for that, Maharaj Yudhishthira was also bewildered. He was asking Bhishma, yeah, for protection. Very, yes, this is very important. But Maharaj Yudhishthira was asking Bhishma. This is, the answer is very difficult for us to bear, and I don't think any of you have ever heard it really. But I'll say it because it's a scriptural injunction. Yudhishthira had wanted to know. He asked so many questions, and he said, "Now, well, you know, they're saying this and that about women, and so well, tell me a little bit about women, see." And so, Bhishma says the very question Narada wanted to know too. So he wanted to know this question. So he was asking. He asked somebody. He asked the apsara called Panchachuda. So Narada says, "Panchachuda. Panchachuda was a heavenly damsel." He says, "Tell me about the nature of women, because there's so many talking about it. Tell me something about it." She says, "I'm a woman. Why, you think I'm going to talk bad about my type? I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to talk anything." So Narad somehow cajoled her. He says, she finally relent. She finally agreed. She started to speak. She says, "No matter how good a husband she may have, no matter how good a society she may have, no matter how well-bred she may be, she would readily disregard all of this for a man who can give her or who can render very beautiful service." That was very shocking. And there's more to it that you know, I can't really discuss. But then he finally asks Bhishma, "Well, what's the reason for all of this? Why is it? Why is it like this? I mean, there's so many chaste women. Why is it like this?" Then Bhishma said that in the previous age, the women and their husband used to go to the heavenly planet very easily, because the women are very chaste, very easily. But the citizens of heaven, they become very disturbed. It's just like the whole world is run into America now, and eventually the Americans are going to get very disturbed, you see. So like that, all the people from the earthly planet, and so they were going up to the heavenly planet. So Lord Brahma decided to devise a plan. And what he decided to do, he said, well, he's going to develop a little cunningness. They said, like, cunningness in ladies, and a few different things, so that she would become unruly and not so submissive and so forth. And so she would not follow her husband so much, and then so much people would not go to the heavenly planet. So for this kalpa, that's the rule now. I guess. So the laws of Manu had to invent different laws, and for the protection, really, and especially for a civilized society, he invented this rule. And there are many more things he stated there too, like this Mataji said. And so, for devotees, this does not really apply. Devotees are really beyond this. We know we're not even this body, but the devotees are actually beyond this. But for aspiring devotees, devotees that are not so strong, they become affected by the modes of nature, they become affected by the society out there, what is going on there, they become affected by so many things. And because of these factors, we have so many broken marriages. But if we can try as a group, as a team, to work on the devotees, because it's not an easy thing. I mean, I myself went through it really. I mean, sometimes you may say, well, you're speaking about that, but you yourself went through that divorce, you know. But like I told you many years ago, I had actually asked for it really. When I was going to get married, I went to the deities and said, I'm scared of marriage life, and let this thing end within 15 years. And that happened really. But I realized that was such a foolish request, you know, because I couldn't actually bear it, you know, especially to see the kids and so suffer so much, see? But, so, you know, I would say my case was a little exception. But of course I had some bad behavior too. I cannot deny that. But anyhow, for the devotees now, we need to come as a team and try to help them, you know, because the children suffer in so many ways. So many ways the kids suffer. And like in the law of Manu, it's stated there, one of the laws says, not by sale, nor by divorce, is a woman released from her husband. So even if there is a divorce, really, because of the laws of this country, sometimes you have to think, there is still hope that amendments can be made. There is still hope that devotees can go back together. And, you know, if within the heart of devotees, just like when that Vishwambar was getting married, Lokanath Maharaj says, put your hand to your heart, raise your hand and bless this couple. You know, don't be a mouthing, but let it be within your heart. So if within our heart, you know, we want to help devotees back, you know, we can come as a group and as a team and want to do that and try to. There are so many devotees. I mean, it's sad to listen to the stories. So many, and it's very sad to listen. And if we can pray for them and come as a team and try to help, and even if we notice something is happening there, we try to help them. And it says within Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada doesn't want this. I mean, you should read back Bhagavad Gita chapter 16, text 7. Yeah, everybody should go through that back and read. There are details about this. You see? And this would please Srila Prabhupada, and this would help our society. We cannot be preachers here. We cannot be an example to society with so many divorces in our society. So many. Left, right, everywhere you turn. And who suffer most? The children. The children. They become exploited. They become, you know, taken by the government. So many different things. You know, what do they know about raising children? See? So we should put our heart into this and think seriously and want to help, really, some form or the other. We should come to some solution. Even if couples are divorced, the possibility exists they could get back together. See? Because when you're married by the spiritual master, that's a binding thing. And it is only an extreme, very, very, very extreme circumstances, then you could probably separate. And not like divorce, but you could separate, live separately. The wife don't take another guy, another person, the husband don't take somebody else. Usually that is the Vedic law. That is hard to follow, but we have to understand the rules and regulations. You know? Sometimes we try to compromise so much. But in the West, one other point. In the Muslim society, you know, Those people, they don't even think about divorce. I mean, I happened to associate, you know, well, work with a Muslim girl for a while, and we were discussing all these things about the laws of Islam. And they said in Islamic society, the men, they accept it for a fact that the man is the boss. Well, you know, I mean, you may say boss, but the head of the home. And the Bible even stated that. See? And if we accept that really, then things go smoothly. Sukanya was doing the same thing. She accepted Chaivana Muni, even though he was old and sickly and everything. She accepted that is her husband and she's going to serve him. You see? And so if we try to follow these principles, we can make a change in our society. Because it is very embarrassing for so many, many devotees. You see, and then they go out there and they do so many things out there. And it's not good for the society. So let us think of ways of helping. I'll stop here and if there's any question or comment, I'll take it. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. I hope I have not disturbed anybody. Oh, this Mataji, okay, you could, yeah.
I just wanted to say that when they talk about Vedically, you're talking about how the wife should just be submissive. It doesn't mean that she's like a doormat, that the man can be as cruel as he wants her. You know, if you look in the case of Dhritarashtra and his wife, and Gandhari was considered one of the most chaste women. Prabhupada puts her in a list of chaste women. And she always told him when he was wrong. You know, ultimately, it's his choice what he does,